So there is this old Jack Benny routine. How many of you recognize the name Jack Benny? Oh, that's better than I thought. So Confirmands, Jack Benny was this old entertainer. He was on television, but he started out before television, on the radio. Can you believe that? Before television? I mean, that's like when dinosaurs walk the earth. Well, he had this routine that he did kind of everywhere. He would do a comedy act. I'm gonna see how well you might know it. In fact, you help me out with it. Has this routine. He says, I'm walking down the street at night, and this guy comes up behind me to mug me. And he says to me from behind, your money or your life. And I didn't say anything. And then he says again, a little louder, your money or your life. And I didn't say anything. And the third time he says, can't you hear me? I said your money or your life. And I said, wait a minute. I'm thinking about it. Way to go, choir. They weren't even prepped on that this morning. Wait a minute. I'm thinking about it. Your grandparents used to think that was really funny. it's perhaps funny, or at least it was at one point, because it's so ridiculous, right? It's so silly, you laugh at the thought. My money or my life, are you kidding me? You take your life every time, but. There must have been a day when people did have to stop and think about that. Because Jesus wasn't joking one day when he asked the question, what will it profit people if they gain the whole world, but they forfeit their life? For those who are just joining us today, we're in a series during the season of Lent leading up to Easter, thinking about questions Jesus asked. And the question today, that question you just heard from Jesus, is a question of discipleship. Now, I know discipleship is not a real popular word. It's a churchy word, and a lot of people aren't really all that sure what it even means. But it's the kind of word that we just assume, if I do understand what it means, I'm probably not going to like it, you know? Just one of those churchy words, like the label Christian. A lot of people don't like the label Christian because of what they feel like it must mean. In fact, the Barna Institute did a survey not too long ago. They asked young adults who had nothing to do with church, what do you think of the label Christian? 91% said being Christian means being anti-gay. You're against gay people. 87% said it means being judgmental. 85% said it means being hypocritical. 70% said Christians are insensitive. If that's what being a Christian means, I don't want to be one either. But discipleship is like the word apprenticeship. Do you know what an apprentice is? You know, where you go to study and learn from somebody who's an expert in some field that you want to be good at. Later, after college, you might do an internship somewhere. It's sort of like an internship, except you're studying one person. You want to learn everything you can from that person. Discipleship is like apprenticeship. You are modeling your life after Jesus. And that does not make you a judgmental, hypocritical, condemning person, because that's not who Jesus is. Jesus is full of grace and compassion and mercy. But don't think that being an apprentice of Jesus is easy. He makes that very clear in our scripture reading today. Those who would come after me, he says, those who would be my apprentices, you must take up your cross and follow me. I want us to try to think about what that means, or what it would have meant for the people listening to Jesus that day. We think about crosses so much today, it really doesn't faze us. We have crosses in church. People wear crosses for jewelry. We don't really think about how would followers of Jesus heard that. First of all, the cross would not have looked like that. It would not have been a cross beam on a pole. The word cross comes from a Greek word staros that means post. Post, just literally a stationary post in the ground, almost like a telephone pole. And it was a form of execution carried out by Romans. A person's hands would be nailed to the post above their head, and they would be left there to die. Why would they do that? That's how criminals were executed, or people who were a threat to Roman society. So sort of the worst of people would be executed. Now, over time, cross beams were added. So it'd be a stationary post that would be used and used and used again. But they would have cross beams where the person would be affixed to the beam. Sometimes they would have to carry it to the post, and then they'd be raised on the post. So that's why we have crosses that look like this today. That, of course, is how Jesus was crucified. If Jesus said, if you want to be my apprentice, you must take up your cross and follow me, how do you think people standing there with Jesus would have heard that? What would they have thought? What do you think today? What do you think Jesus wants us to understand by that metaphor? Let's consider a few things it could mean. One thing Jesus could mean by this image is that we are willing to be misunderstood. We're willing to be misunderstood. If you're standing there listening to Jesus and you know that a cross was reserved for criminals, and you're going, I'm not a criminal. I haven't broken the law. I'm not a threat to society. Then what must it mean? It means you've been wrongly accused. If you're given a cross, somebody's accused you of the worst things and you didn't do them. That's not your intention. Perhaps that's what Jesus means, because isn't that what happened to Jesus? He was wrongly accused and crucified. If we were to think of it that way, a question, especially for those who are going to be in Lent small groups, would be this: what are things Jesus did that if we do them, could lead to our being misunderstood or wrongly accused by others? What are things that Jesus did in his day? What are the things he stood up for? What are the wrongs of society that he was against? If we do that today, what could it mean for us? Well, something else we think about with this idea of cross is a cross is something you take up. It's not just something you bear, you take it up. It's a choice. It's a decision. That means a cross is not always the kind of thing people use it to mean today. Sometimes people say, oh, I've got this terrible sickness, or I'm taking care of a sick family member. I've got this relational problem. I guess it's just a cross I have to bear. That's not a cross. That's not a cross. That's called life. It's called living. And it's called responsibility. A cross is not something that happens to us we have no choice over. It is something we have every choice over. We take up a cross that might be hard, it might be difficult, it might even be painful, but we do it because we believe what we're doing is right. We believe that what we're pursuing is what God would have us do if God were in our shoes. But beyond these ideas, there's something very fundamental about this idea of cross that raises a very simple question. Am I willing to give my life away for others? That's what it means. You don't get put on a cross and get brought down alive. When you go to a cross, you die. It just comes with it, you know? Cross, death, they go together. Peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. But does that mean that if you're going to follow Jesus and be his apprentice, you got to be willing to die? Literally die. It could. It could. History is full of people who died for the Christian faith, doing what they believed God would have them do. But is that all it means? By the way Luke tells this story, you've got to wonder. Because Luke quotes Jesus with a very important word added on. Listen to the way Luke quotes Jesus here. If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Well, how many lives do you cats have? Daily? How do you give your life every day? How do you die every day? You can't. You get the idea that this has to mean something more than literal death. What does it mean? My preaching professor in seminary, Fred Craddock, talking on this topic, one time said this: we think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill, laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I give it all. But the reality for most of us is that God sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here, 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor's kid talk about his troubles, serve in the soup kitchen, teach a children's class. Usually, giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love. Now, I don't believe my old preaching professor was trying to make it easy. I don't think he was watering down the demand of Jesus. What I think he was doing is helping answer the question Jesus asked. What good is it? What profit? If you gain everything the world has to offer, but you forfeit your life in the process. And the answer is, there's no profit. There's no profit. We come to recognize that the value of life isn't what we receive. It's not what we get. It's what we give. It's how we let our lives be spent, be given away. Maybe it's one grand event. Maybe it is giving our life, but for most people, it's 25 cents at a time. It's serving. It's being available. When God says, hey, go do this. Go help this person. Serve in this way. Because we don't often think about it, but comfort has its pain too. Pastor Mindy told me the other day about this blog that she reads a lot. And the writer was talking about this beautiful rug they have in their house and how their dog loves to lie on this rug because it's so comfortable. It's a big, fluffy, thick rug. So the dog's always lying on the carpet. Problem is, the dog blends in with the rug perfectly. You don't see the dog half the time. And she says she and her husband walk through the house and they walk over this rug and all of a sudden they hear, they step on the dog. And they don't see it. The dog screams, but the dog comes back and lies down on the rug again and again and again because she said the dog is so committed to comfort, it's willing to hurt. I heard a few groans from some of you. Probably because you've lived long enough to understand the truth of that. We can be so committed to comfort, feeling good, getting what we want, and we don't realize we can pay a price along the way. We can lose something along the way. There's pain. There's pain in life no matter what. It's really a question of what kind of pain are you willing to endure? The kind that comes from just getting what you want? Or the kind that comes from making our world a better place. You know, if we're ever given the opportunity to make a big response to God, chances are it will be a $1,000 commitment because of what we did with our quarters along the way. Because of what we did every day. When we feel God nudging us deep down inside to give up our little comfort in the moment, to go help another, to risk our reputation a little, to do what's right. And along the way, we discover the rewards that come from such living. Martin Luther King Jr. said that life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? When you guys come up here in a minute and you join the church and you make your profession of faith for the first time, it's like saying yes to God. Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. It's really not the focus of church membership. It's not for me. I'm really proud you're going to be a member of St. Luke's and call this your home. But you know what the real deal is for me? That you're saying yes to Christ. That you want to be a follower. You want to be an apprentice. To let Jesus use you. Because through your life, through big things, through small things, God will change the world every day because of your yes. And when you say yes, it's like storing something important down in your heart, and you never know when the call is going to come, and you go, that's right, I said yes. I mean, after today, you're going to go back to school. You're going to focus on your grades. You know you got to make good grades if you want to get into a certain college in a few years. You're really going to be concerned with that. What college am I trying to get in? Got to get into the right college. If I don't get in the right college, I won't get the degree I need to get on with my career. Then you'll get on with your career. And then your career is going to be, now what's the next promotion I can get? What's the next one I can get? And you just never realize how life and that need to take care of ourselves just takes over. Until something happens one day and you remember your yes to God. Andrew Young was a leader of the civil rights movement right alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He too was a pastor, and much of what he did was because of his yes to Christ. He believed it was his Christian faith that called him to work for racial justice, and it cost him. They were beaten and bloodied sometimes, put in prison, and of course, Dr. King lost his life. But later on, Andrew Young became the mayor of Atlanta. And after that, he became an ambassador to the United Nations. And somewhere along the way, comfort must have become important in his life because of something that happened with his daughter. His daughter, Paula, went to Duke University. When she finished school, she got a job, and when she joined a church, Andrew Young was so proud. And more she got involved in her church, the prouder he was, until she came home one day and said, Dad, I'm quitting my job. I'm moving to Uganda to build houses for Habitat for Humanity. Here's what he said. I tried to talk her out of it. I wanted her to go to church, find a nice Christian man to marry, develop a relationship with God, and settle down. I didn't intend for her to go so far with it. I mean, Uganda. But she said she felt called. What could I say? She said yes. Yes to God. And I think in a little way, it reminded Andrew Young that he had said yes too. And there's something more important in life than just comfort. It's being faithful. So as you get ready to come and be